Forever of the saving grace on the streets of God. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burdens to the Lord and leave. Trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave Him there. When your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul it's almost sinking in despair, but Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave them there. Leave it there.
Take our burdens too. And I guarantee you that if you have your Bible, the book of Psalms, chapter number 10. The book of Psalms, chapter number 10. There's a lot of explanations I'd like to be able to give you this morning of being able to solve this world's problems, but God didn't put me in charge of the world. He didn't ask me to fix anything. He didn't say for me to come and you give wisdom to be able to help somebody along the journey. Wisdom's not my category. What Jesus did tell us to warn the wicked of their wicked way. That's what He did tell us. The book of Psalms, chapter number 10, verse number 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. May we pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow, I trust you, God, today that you'll lead us. And I pray, God, that you'll have your way. God, move upon our hearts, move upon the hearts of all that are here, that we might hear your precious word. God, speak to that one that may be lost, that one that's cold and indifferent. I pray you help them. Blessed have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture said, the wicked. Kind of an unusual start to a verse, isn't it? The wicked. Kind of like setting a title. What we're fixing to talk about, the wicked. Many people don't like to talk about that. We like to be able to say, you know, if we could eliminate lost folks, we'd have a better world. Well, that's a good statement. But it ain't possible right now. Not for us. There's not a thing that I can do to better this world by getting rid of lost folks. I don't have the power. Now, Christ is able to seek and to save that which is lost. But do you ever hear of a time where God says, if you do your job, we're going to eliminate all of the wicked? I ain't found that one in there. In fact, the Great Commission was to preach the gospel to every creature. That was a Great Commission. He could have worded it saying, now listen, do your job and try to eliminate all the lost folks that are in Lawrence County, Alabama. We'd have to probably ask folks to move. Why? The wicked are going to be here. The wicked are going to thrive. There is so much in the Bible concerning what the wicked are. Now, the wicked here in this definition says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Through his own self-worth, his own ideas of life, he will not seek after God. Well, that means then when we dream of lost folks coming to church, you think they want to come? You remember when you was a youngster, did you want to come? When you was lost, when you were lost without God, there was not a desire in your heart to go to church. There was not a desire in your heart to pray. If you had parents that would say, now it's time to say your prayer before you go to bed, you ought to thank God. You ought to thank God. You ought to thank God if you had a parent that was willing to take you to vacation Bible school so you could learn crafts. But you ought to thank God that somebody in that vacation Bible school told you about God. If you was able or had the privilege to go to a revival meeting, in the middle of the week, revival meetings are always during the week. If you had the privilege to go, because you sure didn't go to church on Sunday, but if you had the privilege, you ought to thank God that somehow or another you went to a revival meeting. Because why? Without some kind of external influence, me and you both being wicked, we would not have God in our mind. I look at the Old Testament and I look at what happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and everybody says, well, you know, they sinned and all that. But I look at them folks and I say, boy, they had it made, they was in perfection and all those other things. Wickedness just didn't all of a sudden corrupt them overnight. Wickedness kind of creeps upon you. When Sodom and Gomorrah took place, it crept upon Lot. And he really, you can use a little bit of innocence and say, well, I don't think he really realized what he was getting into.
It was some well-watered areas, and he was a cattle man, and he loved those well-watered areas. It could be very prosperous for him on his journey, but he got more than he bargained for because of the one terminology: wicked. Wicked. Wicked become so great that none of those folks seeked after God. I look at our politicians that we have currently today in our system. I look at some of them and I hear some of their reports, their speeches, and they will make statements, and I can say, how in the world can you think that way? And I'll argue with the TV and I say, you cannot be that stupid. But they can be. And that's just a terminology for me. As an old, good, proper English person say, you can't talk that way. And they really believe it. Why? Wicked. Wicked. The world does not think or act or do like me and you do. If we've been born again, hey, we're in church this morning. We could say, look here, we're the cream of the crop of this world. I hope not, but we're the cream of the crop of this world. If we think what we do is going to make a difference, we must present the wicked message so that the wicked will realize there's something better. There is something better. There's a better place. I got to quickly go through this, and I want you to read. I want you to listen to me. The Bible says he will not seek after God. God's not at all in his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of sight. For as for all of his enemies, he puffeth them. In other words, this is the way the wicked act. He said in his heart, I shall not be moved. That's the wicked. Never mind adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. There you go. Where do you not find that today? Go on. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places in the village. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him in his net. He croucheth, he humble himself, and the poor may fall by a strong one. Verse 11, I'll hush. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. Now you listen. Listen. Here's an individual, not just one, not just two, not just 100. Millions and millions and millions of people think that they can act and do to anybody they want to do, act any way they want to act, live any way they want to live, and there is no consequences for what they do. The wicked rule in power on many locations. We look around at the other side of the world and say, boy, I'm glad I don't live on that other side of the world. We can look right now in places like California or Chicago and some of them, boy, I'm glad I don't live right there. Friend, you think if that's where only wicked was over there, it'd be okay. But wicked is right here in our own, right here amongst us. Right here where we live. And here's the way people think. I can do all of this because God hath forgotten. He hideth his face and he will never see it. Now that's the way people act. That's the way they live. They think that everything they do, there's no consequences. God will not hold me accountable. I'm just fine. God forgot everything. God will not use anything against me. For the sake of time, Daniel chapter number 3 begins with a story. We all know Nebuchadnezzar had a problem. He had a lot of problems in this world. But he had a problem that everybody wasn't as good as him. He got a golden image. He had him a god, a golden image. And many people said it was an image of a perfection of about himself type thing. This golden image, and he set it up and he said, listen, here's how this thing gonna work. When you hear all these wonderful musical sounds, you're just gonna bow down and worship me. Really gonna worship out of image, but really in a sense,
Here's what wicked people do. They start building themselves up. They start looking and they say, look here at me, look here at what I do. See, the wicked are so powerful in their thinking, they don't think that there's a higher power than them. They think they're it. There's not a billionaire today that you don't hear about that thinks far above what me and you think and think, how in the world do they think that way? But old King there, he thought he had it made there, and you know what? He had folks around him that thought the same way he thought. Now, I may not always agree with your thinking, but I always am happy with your thinking, because here's this. I wouldn't want to have folks around us that all of a sudden, oh, this preacher, he is the best thing since sliced bread. Now, I'd just like to hear that about that many times. About that many times, if you can count. You know why? I'm just a sinner just like you are. The only thing different is God lets me say something every now and then, all right? But it ain't me doing the saying. God doesn't put me on a pedestal and say, look here, here's where you are. God has the book in there, and if we don't follow the instructions of this book, I ain't worth 2 cents. Because I ain't worth 2 cents anyhow. But we don't need to build up ourselves. Because if we do, and all of a sudden we say, oh, we got the greatest preacher in the world, guess what? We're going to find ourselves just like in Nebuchadnezzar's time with his rulers, his counselors, and all those folks. And every one of them gave advice, said, hey, make that sound. Let's all get on our knees. We're just going to have us a little worship time. There's no preacher behind the pulpit worth any grain of salt when he starts building up himself. There's not one. If we're not building up the Lord Jesus Christ, keep our mouth shut. The wicked in through Nebuchadnezzar had all this, and we know this story so well, but he didn't have God in his heart. He didn't have God in his thinking, and he set up that image, done all that worship, and friend, them three boys decided they ain't going to do it. We know that story. Get there, so guess what? Furnace heated up. Cast him in there. We know this story. Whenever they got cast in there, old King decided to show up. Now, can you imagine how he dressed, how he walked, how he talked, how he made himself appear? Now, these people are the defilers. They are the ones that says no while everybody else is saying yes. In fact, if you're worth a grain of salt as a Christian, you're saying no when everybody else is saying yes. When everybody else is saying, oh, sin's okay. It's okay to live like you won't, do like you won't, act like you won't. If you're the one agreeing with him, friend, you've lost your testimony. You've lost your ability to be a witness in front of him. You must be a voice like John the Baptist crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. We've got to be a little different. In fact, we need to be a whole lot different. So, friend, when they heated up that furnace, they throwed them in there, and I'm leaving out a whole bunch of details, but whenever they, the king got where he could see, and he said, hey, all of my counselors, all my folks, did we not cast 3 men? Did we not cast them bound? Did we look at all the things that he brings up, if you had the time to read it? Did we not do all this and look at them? There's not 3 there. There's 4. And this 4th one, this is what's so amazing in the Bible. The 4th one has the appearance, has the look of the Son of God. Now, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Where in the world is the Son of God mentioned prior to this? Oh, he's mentioned a whole lot after this, but he's not mentioned prior to this. How is it possible the wicked that don't have God in their mind, don't have God in their thoughts, they're cursing, they're swearing, their ego, they're building up themselves, how do they see God? I'm going to reference this because I reference it all the time, and I'm just going to try to make sense out of it to you, hopefully. When we stand before God at judgment, when the lost stand before God at judgment, they ain't going to ask by what authority you on that throne. They ain't going to ask, who are you? Friend, when the lost stand before God, they're going to know it's God. There is not going to be any doubt. Here is a king, biggest king of the world. And he says, look here, the Son of God. That kind of set me back a little bit to think that wickedness, no matter how wicked people get, God can still get bigger in their heart. No matter how lost you are, God can remove the lost. No matter how wicked, no matter how vile your mouth is. You realize if we let folks talk the way they wanted to talk on TV, you couldn't watch the news. If we let folks talk the way they want, you couldn't watch cartoons. Because people with their natural tongue talk pretty rough. And we try to civilize the world. If we make the world more civilized, we can get along. Friend, when the king saw that fourth man, he immediately called for them three to come out, and they came out, began to explain. And what really happened, that explanation of what was going on touched the heart of the king. I don't know if it's possible today to take some of the folks that are in Washington, D.C. and say to them, listen, if you'll get a hold of God, I believe something will change in your heart. I believe all of a sudden things will get better. Listen to what Matthew says. Matthew says in the 13th chapter, it says in verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables. Jesus is saying it. Because they seeing, see not. Now, I had to read this because I want you to hear it. Seeing, see not. That means if you're looking in something, are you really seeing what you see? Jesus said there's some folks that see, but they don't really see. Listen. And hearing, they hear not. Sometimes when you see, friend, there was no doubt that king saw the form of that fourth man in that fire, and that form of that fourth man, he described it as the Son of God, and he wasn't going to take it back. He wasn't going to assume he was wrong. He wasn't going to take it as a bad dream, indigestion, or anything else. What he saw was like the Son of God. You remember the two thieves on the cross? One of them had to say, hey, don't you realize we're in the same boat? We got the same problems, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This man hath done nothing. We deserve to be here. He's done nothing. Friend, you may act like it. You may talk like it. You may walk like it. But friend, that's because you're just wicked and you can't help it. I was in the same boat. I was lost in sin. But friend, just because wicked, all of a sudden God began to say to me, you're seeing, but you really don't see. You're hearing, but you really don't hear. There are times in church that you can leave this building and ask on the way out the door, and I could say, can you just tell me a couple of words that the preacher had to say today? And you couldn't tell it. You know why? You're seeing and see not, and hearing and hear not. If I'm only talking with this right here, and I'm only working in this right here, I'm not considering my heart in any decisions. You go to the candy store with the kid and see what you'll get out of the store with. A child really doesn't have a concept of money until he gets to a certain age, you know. You know the story about you getting one piece of candy and go, and if you tell them 10 pieces of candy, or if you go in there and make the mistake, get what you want, you better hope they don't find a sack. But if you tell a kid, go get you something, one thing, two things, what, go get you, they're going to look through those 14 million things, and most likely that first thing they grab, they may put it back, but they may grab it, and that's what they get. See, sometimes seeing, we actually don't see. Hearing, we don't actually hear it. Watch this as it goes a little bit further. The scripture says, by hearing you shall hear and not understand. Seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Uh-oh, it's kind of covered over. It's kind of like this next part says, dull of hearing. You're hearing, you're right here. You saw the same things, old King Nebuchadnezzar. You saw the same thing. You saw them three boys not bowing, and that's all you really saw. But friend, God made you see something else. You may act like the world, think like the world, and live in that world, but God can show you something else. God, nobody else around. Nobody else was around looking into the furnace. Only the king. When the king looked in there and when he saw what he saw, it wasn't the miracle they didn't smell smoke. It wasn't a miracle they were loosed and walking around there. It was a miracle of the Son of God. And friend, when you're lost, you better pray to God that he shows you himself. Because if God don't show you him, the scripture says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's a friend of mine. That when Moses lifted up that serpent, that was just a prelude to what was fixing to happen. When Jesus was lifted up on that Calvary's cross, he was to show a lost and dying world that the only antidote for sin is Jesus Christ, nothing else. But if he shows you himself, and you see it and you hear it, you may be dull of hearing, but all of a sudden God can get your attention. God can. The other morning, going to school, there was a really, really bad accident. Now, I leave pretty early, and there was a really, really bad accident. There's not many cars on the road that early. And I'm talking about a bad one. I'm talking about whenever you saw the car, where the engine was all the way up there in the car. It was a huge, a massive one. And how would you like to have been in that car? Now, I don't want you to get hurt, but just think about it. How would you like to have been in that car when it impacted? Now, your mind was on something else. Your thinking was on something else. Who knows what you were doing, but all of a sudden, in one split second, bingo, you're in that crash. And when you're inside the vehicle, you don't realize how bad the damage is until you get outside the vehicle. As I drove by and looked at that car, I thought, oh my goodness. But while you're inside the vehicle, you just think, am I okay? Now listen carefully. You don't realize the full impact till you look at what happened. The furnace was hot. The fire was great. But you don't realize the impact until you see what comes out of the furnace. And what come out of that furnace that day was a word that he never heard before. Oh, he'd heard it. Remember, they said, we're not going to bow, O king. Whether God's going to save us from this or not, O king, we don't care. Listen, we got news for you. We're not going to. He heard the words, but he really didn't hear the words until
he saw the fourth man in the fire.
Wickedness is prevailing. It is overcoming. If you don't think the world ain't happy at what's going on, how many thousands and thousands of folks have rejoiced because of all the happenings that's going on around right now in this country? People will protest every single thing. If you're for something, they're going to be the opposite. They don't mind being the voice of dissension. And I look at them, where is their sense? You know why?
They're wicked. We're not going to change that. The only thing we are allowed to do is witness to a lost world just like those three boys did. And those three boys witnessed to that one king, said, oh, whether or not we're going to do this, that, and the other, we're not going to bow. Whether or not we're not going to bow. They made it real clear they were not going to bow. And God made it real clear when he presented the message to those that were dull of hearing. There's a couple of verses. One of them is dealing with being not weary with well-doing. Now that's for us. We like to use that for us. For us not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. The weary in well-doing means that sometimes you just plug and you plug and you plug and you don't get any results. You invite somebody to come to church, they don't ever come. You just keep on doing it and they don't ever. You witness to them and they seem like nothing happens. Now that is an encouragement for us to keep trying, to keep doing, not to give up. In this example where the three were cast into the fiery furnace, you didn't hear them saying, well, we'll try again. They're going to die. You didn't hear them beg for mercy. You didn't hear them praying. You didn't hear them doing anything else. Where you hear them is when they are cast into that fiery furnace. Folks died for them to get cast into that fiery furnace. And when they got there, the only conversation that we know took place is not recorded. The Bible says they were loosed walking around there. I don't understand this, but I don't know if you just walk around and are quiet or you got something to say and nobody hears it but God. Have you ever been to the point in your life when only you and God are talking? Now listen, like that wreck, it's be very quick to say a long prayer, but in a wreck like that, it happened instantly because somebody didn't hit brakes or something because that car was too badly damaged. You mean to tell me in a moment, in a split second, something like that can happen? Friend, you may not have time to pray, just like Brother Larry mentioned earlier about that explosion in Tennessee. There was no time for them folks to pray. And friend, you'll find yourself being wicked with no time to pray. A buddy of mine's going through the heart situation. We've been asking prayer for him and found out this week it's maybe some other things going on. And he's got to be really, really careful right now because of other things. In other words, I talked to him one day and I said, you know, there's something about a heart condition. You think everything's all right. But one split second and a few heartbeats and you ain't here. You're going to be gone. Good thing about it. When you pray, God hears you. But if you're wicked and you're lost without God, you may not even have time to call upon him to save your soul. Not to help you. Not to keep you out of the injuries. Not to cause your pain to go away. To save your soul. Because friend, when you go to die, it don't matter how good you look down here. Mm-mm. When you die, friend, you won't even comb your hair after you're dead. Somebody else will do it for you in the casket. But
friend, when you're lost without God, you will need God as your Savior. If Christ doesn't come in your life and you're held accountable by the standards of God, you'll stand in your own sins. And when you stand before a holy God, God will not look upon your sin. And guess where you're going to be cast? Into the lake of fire. Are you saved this morning? Or are you grouped with Psalms 10, first two words, the wicked? The wicked. Because if you're grouped with the wicked, there is an alternative. But friend, you don't like to even retain God in your thoughts. And there's one final thing, and I promise I'll hush. If you don't like to retain God, God will not force His will in your life. And for you to be saved is a choice you will make by the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And if you reject God, you're on your own. And you won't have to go God's way. You think, I can make it on my own. You can't until you die. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. The wicked is a troubled people, but there's an alternative. The wicked have no future. Oh, they got it made right now, but they have no future. Their future without God is a lake of fire. I could go on and on and on. But remember, until you hear God, you're really not hearing anything. You got folks that'll give you advice. You got folks that'll tell you everything. But until you hear God, you're not hearing anything. May we stand to our feet and sing a verse of a song. If God's speaking to you today, you come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Come today while you have a privilege and an opportunity. That's the only way. Come to Him today.